Thanks very much, Kira. It certainly reminds you of your own mortality when you hear the obituary of a friend who you play soccer with for a good few years. And indeed, Tommy Lawlor was on yesterday as well, and the Farrell family bereaved by the death of John in the last couple of days or so. Yeah, strange times indeed. Certainly, I can even still picture him roaring and shouting at us to get back behind and cover the ball and this, that and the other. So, and so many other people bereaved as well. May he rest in peace, and our sympathies to everybody who is bereaved or has been over what has been the most difficult of years. Monday, by the way, Kieran Noble will tell us all in a couple of minutes' time about how things would change from Monday in regards to what we can or cannot do. Just a message that came in yesterday. I want to reflect on the vulture funding from Paul. On the email, he said Michael Noonan started the Vulture, or stated that the Vulture funds are of some use in that they gobbled up decaying businesses, decaying carcasses, says Paul. The government should offer the derelict sites the Vulture funds on the basis that they begin working them as soon as possible. We have failed to deal with these ugly and depressing sites, so perhaps this would be a remedy that would gain public support and solve a problem that our government seems unable or unwilling to tackle. So says Paul Connolly on the email. Keep your messages coming. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. Email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can chat with Kira on 045 901 490. To come this hour, we'll be hearing how children and young people are urging the government to act now to deliver a life-changing white paper to end direct provision. We'll hear about Tusa's appeal for anyone connected with mother and baby homes to contact them. Do you need a job at the moment? You might be able to get one minding goats. And it's Free Fuckle Friday, as we attempt to improve Kira and Owen's and yours, Cúpla Fuckle. But first, it's happy birthday to Christy Moore. Seamus asked for a song. Seamus, I haven't time to play Lily because it's nearly 5 minutes, but I hope you like this one. It's Mandolin Mountain.
I go up on Mandolin Mountain, high in Melody Hill. Aye, sweet harmony, water at the well. As my life is passing through me, I'm mostly satisfied. The old songs keep calling me, calling through the night. Mandolin Mountain, high in Melody Hill. High, sweet harmony, water at the well. It was written in the book of life, way back down the road. Love is for the patient ones, the honest and the good. I go up on Mandolin Mountain, high in Melody Hill. High, sweet harmony, water at the Boyne on to Tara Hill. I know that it always was, and I know it always will. I go up on Mandolin Mountain, high in Melody Hill. High, sweet sweet harmony, water at the well.
What a beautiful song, isn't it? From Christy Moore's last album, Lily. That's Mandolin Mountain. And a happy 76th birthday today to Christy Moore, who was born on May the 7th, 1945. God, I mentioned the late John Farrell, how I know I'm getting old with my old soccer mate being buried this weekend. But Christy Moore, how many of us grew up with Christy? He's 76 years of age, a founding member, of course, of the great and legendary Planxty and Moving Hearts. I feature them regularly on the Tuesday night programme, Ceolúigh's Caint, with yours truly. And when you think that his younger brother, Luca Bloom, by the way, whose real name is Barry Moore, is 65. But some of his fellow members of Planxty, for example, Andy Irvine, who played mandolin a lot himself, and guitar and sang, he's 78. And what about the great Donal Lunny? 74. Wow. Lads, these are icons. I don't think of these as men who are nearly 80. 76, 78, 74. The great members of Planxty. I think of these still as, ah, jeez. I don't know. I think it's to do with I can't accept the reality of getting old. I don't know. Does that afflict my next guest? He's CEO of Durrus, John Lennon. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Are you a fan of Christy Moore's?
I love listening to Christy Moore, I do indeed. And yeah. I've listened to Planxty through the years and enjoyed them too.
Yeah, when you think he's 76 today, quite remarkable how age and that moves so long. But anyway, on a much more serious note, John, you're CEO of Durrus. Tell me, which is the Irish word for door, very apt for your organisation. Tell listeners what your organisation is about.
It is, yes. We've been in existence for 21 years because we were founded to do exactly as the name says, to provide an open door and welcome for asylum seekers and refugees who were coming to Limerick initially. Now, we've had projects in other parts of the country as well, but 21 years supporting migrants and being a human rights organisation, advocating and campaigning for the rights of asylum seekers, for refugees and for other migrants here in Ireland.
We've made a point regularly on the programme here about, you know, much talk about children going into quarantine recently, but not enough has been highlighted about the numbers of children who have been in direct provision, not for 10 days, but often for a couple of years.
Absolutely, yeah. There are over 1,000 children living in direct provision now, and it's been very difficult for them through the COVID-19 pandemic. It's always been difficult for children in direct provision. It's been around for as long as we have in Durrus, for 21 years now. It was set up as a temporary measure back in the year 2000 to help cope with the increasing numbers of people who are coming seeking asylum to Ireland. But we still had it. Report after report after report have shown that it's had a very damaging effect on people. It excludes people from society, and it's particularly difficult for children who are growing up and going through their developmental years living in direct provision. It's difficult for them to get to and from school. They can't socialise with other children. They have no place to do their homework or to play in most of the centres around the country. And this has a very negative effect on them, as it has on everybody in direct provision.
Indeed, and that being echoed by the recent Ombudsman's report, Safety and Welfare of Children in Direct Provision, which found that direct provision, the system established in 2000 to house people who come to Ireland seeking asylum, is not having the best interests of children at its core. On Wednesday, indeed, you extended quite a welcome to Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman, a children's rights event that was the Children's Rights Alliance. I think your organisation is a member of that scrutinised the government's white paper on ending direct provision. Do you think that will deliver what you need?
We hope it will, and we do acknowledge and recognise that for the first time ever we have a government minister who has acknowledged that direct provision is not fit for purpose. It does not have the best interests of children, as you say, or indeed of any people who come to Ireland seeking international protection at its heart, and it does need to be ended. The white paper that has been published sets out a broad roadmap for its ending by the end of 2024. We would like to see a more thorough and more detailed plan for that, but this is a step in the right direction. We welcome what Minister O'Gorman has produced in the White Paper. And indeed, as you say, the Ombudsman for Children is one of the organisations that has been quite critical and quite vocal about the impact of direct provision.
But John, all this week on the programme, we've been speaking about vulture funds hoovering up homes around this country in their thousands, and has been going on for a number of years. Local authorities unable to meet the costs of renting these homes and so on. And phase one of this white paper talks about reducing the length of time spent in initial reception accommodation and the move towards providing people with what's called on-door family appropriate accommodation in the community. Where are you going to get that, John, in the midst of a housing crisis where homeless is one of our biggest issues?
Well, we certainly have a housing crisis in this country, and the first thing that I would say is that regardless or separately from people who are coming here seeking international protection, that needs to be addressed. So the international protection applicants are only, in some respects, the thin end of the wedge when it comes to addressing that problem. Yes. Now, the Minister O'Gorman's department is leading on housing for international protection applicants, and what will be set up to accommodate them is the idea that separate approved housing bodies and non-governmental organisations will provide that.
It's a great aspiration, John, and I'm not trying to dampen the aspirations of the white paper, but many would say, and I'm sure you'd fear this yourself, that it's a completely unrealistic aspiration in the time frame presented, given that we have tens of thousands of people who are homeless. We have the 1,000 children in direct provision. We have tens of thousands more in this country who can't get on the housing ladder. And we're building about 15,000 homes this year when it's totally and widely acknowledged that we need to build 30 to 40,000 a year for the next number of years. So this crisis is not going to go away in the short term.
No, indeed. And the numbers of international protection applicants that are coming to Ireland isn't making a significant difference to the urgent need to address the housing crisis. The Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, quite a long name, but Minister O'Gorman's department, have done their estimates in terms of numbers. It can be done, they say. They've a broad roadmap outlined for the end of 2024. And we have to say here, as with all Irish people, as with anybody living in this country, you know, there is an obligation on the government to provide safe and appropriate housing.
All right,
this is something that needs to be done. They have obligations to do this, and I have to say that I welcome Minister O'Gorman and indeed the entire government's commitment to doing this.
All right, hopefully that will transpire. Now, finally, before you go, John, there's just one other positive aspect in regard, well, not just one other, but one other that I want to refer to in terms of this white paper. And you're welcome also that for the first time in more than 20 years, children in the protection process will be treated equally to other children living in Ireland. How so?
Yes, this is something that has to be done, not just in terms of their housing and where they live, but also in terms of access to education, in terms of to supports and services, and for things like child benefit as well. And this is something that has been denied to children who, in many cases, spend years with their families in direct provision, that there has been no provision of children's allowance or an equivalent to them. So one of the key points or ways in which children will be who are in the international protection system will be treated to others living in Ireland is that they will get a child benefit payment every month. And this is very welcome. Okay. This has not come into stream yet. We would like to see see that happening because, as I said, living in congregated, overcrowded settings, being excluded from society is having a hugely negative effect on children who are growing up and for whom Ireland will be their home.
Indeed.
You know, they are growing up to contribute to Irish society, to live here, to work here, and they need to be treated the same way as other children.
On that note, CEO of Durris, John Lannan, reacting to that Children's Alliance welcome for the government's proposed white paper to end direct provision, and indeed one of the aspects of that to also start paying child benefit for the children, the 1,000 plus children in the system as well. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
And indeed, good morning to you, and have a good weekend. Right, just a couple of quick messages before we move on. Thanks, Clem, for playing Christy Moore. I hope in my lifetime we see a statue to Christy outside the Newbridge Town Hall. Gurev Mahagos to Seamus. Not a bad idea, Seamus. I mean, there's a statue to Father Breen out in Punchestown. Lovely statue, I have to say. And yeah, and there's a statue to Ernest Shackleton, the great Antarctic explorer, outside the town hall in Athy. A statue to Christy Moore, who has been the epitome of everything about Kildare. Yeah, that's a good idea, I think. Maybe someone might pick up that as well. Clem, would you wish Charlie O'Neill, oh God, there's a very well-known name, a happy birthday? His claim to fame is he was born the same day as Christy Moore. Love, Christy. Lovely song you played. Thank you, Clement. Keep up the good work. My first time to use your WhatsApp. Hope it works. It worked perfectly. Who are you? Tell me what your name is, will you? And we'll welcome you to WhatsApp and hope to hear a lot more from you. Let's go now back to Ciara Noble, because, Ciara, what have you got for us?
Well, firstly, I agree with the Christy Moore statue. He's very proud of his Newbridge roots, isn't he? There's Joe Dolan in Mullingar, so...
Yeah, that's true, actually. And there's
there'll be a Clem Ryan in Ennis soon.
There'll be Clem Ryan.
He won't be in County Kildare, let me tell you. He'll be down in Clare.
He will, yeah. And there's a statue of Arkell up in County Meath. So, yeah, let's start a campaign for a statue of... Well, we'll wait till Christy dies.
I feel like... God, Clem, don't be so morbid.
No, wait till he dies because...
Okay, don't say that now.
Or should we have the statue while he's alive?
I think Christy might be too humble to ever accept something like that.
Like,
I don't
Christy's
know.
Christy's liable to
amazing.
Say, would you go away, Head? A statue to me. Let's take care of the people who are homeless in this country and the poor.
Yeah,
because,
which is very true.
This is justice for everybody, and I don't believe in statues. Now go on. Let's have a song. Don't forget your shovel before you go to work.
I agree with Christy there. I suppose the money could
too.
Be put in something.
I do too.
Better.
I love Christy
anyway.
Moore. I have all of his albums.
Good stuff.
Going back to his Planxty days, I love them. And I often play them on Keolog's Kind of Tuesday night between 7
get the
and 8.
Promo in. Get it in. Go on. Get your promo in.
All right, go on.
Right. So, reopening, I think listeners will be very
this is
excited
what's going to
hear about this.
I was trying to think, why am I asking her back into the programme?
Well, if you give me a second to get anything out of my mouth.
All right, well, hold on a second now because I have to do the intro. Ciara Plough, on Monday, the country is going to open up considerably with many of the restrictions that have been in place being removed. To tell us more, we are now joined by Ciara Noble.
You already did that? You've done that intro twice now, but thank you very much, Clem Ryan. So we're going to start with the 10th of May. Obviously, Monday, as Clem mentioned. So an increase in numbers of people that can meet outdoors. That's including in your private garden now. So a maximum of 3 households or 6 people from any number of households can meet up. But the limit of 6 does not include children under the age of 12. Outdoor sports training for adults, back to the gym if your gym can operate outdoors, obviously. Pods of a maximum of 15 people. The phased reopening of non-essential retail, so click and collect from May 10th, but the remaining retail won't open until May 17th, a week later. The libraries are reopening for the lending, but no access to the PCs, etc. Recommencement of religious services, but the advice is that ceremonies such as communions and confirmations that we're speaking about this morning shouldn't take place at the moment. Funerals from the 10th of May, something that I think Irish people really have missed a lot, because they say the Irish are so good at mourning. I know that's a weird phrase to say, but 50 mourners can attend services now from the 10th of May. Weddings, 50 guests are permitted, but for the celebrations, it's still a maximum of 6 people for indoor gatherings, and then it's a maximum of 15 for outdoor gatherings. The number is allowed to increase from June 7th to 25. inter-county travel can resume. We can send people back to County Clare. increase in numbers on public transport, it's up to 50%. That's obviously of the normal capacity. Then, Clem, I obviously mentioned all the rest of retail outlets would open May 17th. Yeah. Then the 2nd of June, accommodation services, woohoo, hotels, etc., they will be able to welcome guests again.
Thank you, Ciara, for that. So, Monday, big day. But listen, let's keep those social distances, wash our hands, and wear face coverings. All very important. The last thing we want to get into is a fourth wave. And that request for Charlie O'Neill came in from Sandy O'Neill. Sandy, you're an expert now on WhatsApp, so keep it coming. And you say, a statue to Christie is a great idea. As Ciara said, the statue to Joe Dolan is in Mullingar. After the break, Tuesday is appealing for anyone connected with mother and baby homes to get in touch.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
I think Ger sent me this on the WhatsApp. Ger would be very sceptical about I think it's Ger, maybe it's not. But it's the Leaving Cert maths question of 2021. Are you ready, lads? You remember the notice we read out recently about the government decisions? I'll tell you what, I'll do this in a minute and the Leaving Cert maths question of 2021, because I want to move on to our next speaker. As I told you there before the break, Tuzla has issued an appeal for anyone connected with the mother and baby homes who suffered abuse as a child to contact their helpline. Director with Tuzla is Cormac Quinlan. Good morning to you, Cormac.
Good morning, Clem.
Thanks indeed for joining us this morning. Now, what exactly have you in mind here?
Good morning, Clem. And listen, thank you very much for the opportunity to come on to your show this morning and to speak to your listeners, because it's so important that we get our message of appeal out to as many people as possible. So genuinely appreciate that. I'm sure you and many of your listeners are likely aware that earlier this year, obviously, the government published its final report on the Commission of...
We have indeed. It's been a regular feature on the programme, particularly with Breda Murphy, of the TUM Mother and Baby Scheme. We've had multiple discussions on it, and our listeners hopefully are well informed, because we've had the scenario where we itemised, for example, and this is why it's relevant to our listeners, Breda came up with statistics in regards to the estimates of Kildare mothers or Kildare women who went to homes like Bessborough or Shanross in Roscrea, and indeed babies who died in the mothers and babies homes who were the offspring of Kildare mothers as well. Sorry about that, Cormac, just giving the overview.
No, absolutely, and I think that's so important, the context, Clem. You know, the report, as you know, and as you've highlighted very clearly there, has documented, I suppose, exceptionally painful, harrowing and yet powerful testimonies of women who gave birth in these institutions. But we also know, as an agency, I suppose, who have read this report in detail, that women gave birth in these homes were sometimes they themselves children, with some as being as young as 12 at times, and we also know that some of the pregnancies were as a result of sexual abuse. And obviously, as our service, who's responsible for the care and protection of children, is now reaching out to women survivors who perhaps have been abused and who may have concerns that the person who did harm them may continue to pose a risk to other children today. And in that context, obviously, in terms of our role in safeguarding children, it's so important that the information that adult survivors have, that they can talk to us about that information, because it does help us, like I say, look at whether there are children who might be still at risk today from individuals, and how we can best support in protecting and safeguarding those children.
Is it your view, Cormac, that while people, of course, can report such issues to An Garda Síochána, that they might be more forthcoming in contacting yourselves?
Absolutely. Sometimes people find it very difficult at any stage, Clem, to talk about very difficult, painful circumstances in their past. It's our hope, I suppose, and we would encourage anyone to contact the Gardaí if they believe a crime has been committed, but we're interested in speaking in a very supportive way to survivors about their experiences, and like I said, try and help them, help us identify children today who might need protection. And we have dedicated people available on a dedicated helpline, experienced social workers, ready to speak to people about their concerns and to walk them through in a very supportive way about how they can help us help protect children.
Yeah, I was going to ask you actually, maybe if you might develop that situation. So if a woman contacts your helpline, and for people, you might want to get your buyers ready, it's a free phone helpline, easy to remember. It's 1-800-805-865. And I'll repeat that line again, that number again at the end of the interview. It's available from Tuesday last to the 14th of May. So you've just about maybe until today week to avail of this helpline, which is, will be open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. So when somebody rings this helpline, what will the process be?
So the process in there is they'll be speaking to a dedicated social worker who's very experienced in adoption work, and that social worker will take them through, I suppose, a series of maybe questions, exploring with them what their concern is about, what has happened to them, and indeed what their concern might be a concern for children today. So we'll walk them through in a very sensitive, supportive way and explain then the next steps that will happen following that. And after that, there may be further follow-up and contact with the person just to continue our work in identifying information that might, again, lead us to protect children. Obviously, we'll be liaising with the Gardaí as well, where necessary and appropriate, because obviously we support the Gardaí in their work, and indeed they support us in our work. It's a collaborative approach. But we'd hope that people would find it easier and possible to speak to a social worker to help them just think through. And they can just contact us if they have a worry or concern and think that through with us. We're here to support them, like I said, in coming forward with information that might help us in identifying children today who need our protection.
Indeed. And there's an email. I know you're working closely with An Garda Síochána, and also people can contact you by email if they need.
They can indeed. We have the free phone number. Sometimes we know that people like to speak to somebody in this context, you know, to kind of tease it out. So our free phone number, as you said, 1-800-855-665 is available Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. And we'd encourage people to contact us. Of course, the Gardaí have set up their own email address for that, which is available through their website. But we would encourage people to phone us directly, and then we can walk them through the process. I think sometimes it's better if we can explain to people the process. I think it can be more helpful for people, particularly if people are finding it difficult to pick up the phone, like I said, to talk about such difficult things.
Indeed, and as you make out, as you say, in terms of your details, because many of these women will have suffered all sorts of horrific circumstances in these mother and baby homes. Many of them will have been victims themselves of sexual abuse, notwithstanding what happened to their children. And I suppose the nature of such crimes is that in many cases this can be multiple situations.
Absolutely. And again, we have trained social workers that will also be able to support people in linking them on to other services if they need additional support themselves as adults. So it's twofold. One is to make sure that we ensure that these people who have had traumatic or abusive experiences have the supports that they need to deal with those issues themselves. But equally, like I said, they can also help us in thinking about who are the children today that might also still be at risk. And that's our primary focus, I suppose. And that's where survivors of abuse are so crucial to us in providing a part of the picture that helps us with our current responsibilities today.
All right, very good. It's very, very important. If you've been impacted by the conversation we're having, if in any way you know anybody you might bring this information to them who was in a mother and baby home, and if you'd like to get in touch with Tusla, it's a helpline. Experts will be at the other end, and your views and your story will be treated very sympathetically and in total confidentiality as well. And whatever ongoing help is needed will be afforded to you as well. 1-800, it's a free phone number, 1-800-805-665, available until Friday, May 14th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. That's 1-800-805-665. And meanwhile, thank you very much indeed. Cormac Quinlan is Director of Tusla issuing that appeal. Thank you, Cormac.
Thank you very much, Clem. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Not at all. You're very welcome. And such an important follow-up and service that's provided for these women, many of whom are isolated still to this day and have been left with the traumatic fallout from the circumstances they encountered, whether sexually abused in their homes or in their general community, and then ending up in these mother and baby homes. And as Breda Murphy told us in the past, a significant number of Kildare women ended up in mother and baby homes, whether it was Dunboyne up the road in County Meath, in Dublin, in the various homes there, or heading towards Shanross or Bessborough in Cork. Very few who have not been impacted or who don't know of someone who was impacted in this way. Right, let's go from a very from an extremely serious issue, I was about to say, to go to a rather less serious, but maybe my next guest will say, oh God, Clem, this is very serious as well, not taking away from your previous topic. But Sean Carlin is Vice Chairman of the Old Irish Goat Society. And indeed, Sean, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us this morning. The Old is that the Old Irish Society for Goats, or is it the Irish Society for Old Goats?
Oh, well, it's for the Old Irish Goat, very clear about that.
Right, the Goats Society. Now, we have a big unemployment problem in the country, but there might be an opportunity here for someone, because you're looking for a goat herder.
That's right, Clem, yeah, this is a very prominent role, actually, because we're looking for a goat herder to help us with conservation grazing on Hoth Head, overlooking the capital, and we're going to be using Old Irish Goats there. We'll be returning Old Irish Goats to Hoth Head after a hiatus of over half a century.
Now, why?
Why? Well, because the Old Irish Goat is it's our native breed of goat. It's a land-raised breed. It's very much adapted to the landscape of Ireland and the uplands of Ireland. And the heathlands are essentially a farmed landscape. They're created by grazing animals. And like many heathlands in Ireland, a lot of them have been abandoned or undergrazed, and Hoth is an example of that. And we need to get those heathlands grazed to reduce fire risk, to reduce invasive species, and to enhance the biodiversity. And I suppose visually, what people would see after a while is extended heather cover and a much more colourful heathland and a much more vibrant heathland with insects and invertebrates.
I suppose it's similar in many cases to why there's so many sheep on the Curragh, in that they keep the whole environment under control. Now, I see, according to the Irish Examiner, that yodelling is not required, as you might have to do in the mountains of Switzerland for this job, but handling a sheepdog might come in handy. We're talking specifically about what's called Irish goats, because they'd be very distinctive, would they not, from other breeds of goats. And you're putting 25 goats on the hill of Hoth, as you've explained, to keep gorse, heather and other flammables down. The person who gets this job, will they be living on with the goats?
Well, we are hoping that this person will transfer to Hoth and live in Hoth.
Expensive area to live in.
That's right, it is. that's why we're offering 45,000 as a salary for this role, to try and help with the expense there.
And what will the duties of the person be who's employed?
Well, the duties essentially will be, I suppose, the two parts of this role. Care of animals is obvious. So they will, have to check on the animals, make sure they're in good health, give them any treatment that they're needed, and transfer them to various sites. So that might be walking them with a sheepdog or in a trailer, and generally caring for the goats. The other big part of this will be engagement with community in Hoth, and indeed Dublin and Ireland, because we think this is going to be a high-profile project. So we're looking for someone with IT skills and maybe that's comfortable with social media or could get comfortable with social media.
Your offer of 45,000, I've just lost two producers who have just left the building and are already heading to Hoth with their crooked stick and a couple of sheepdogs in the booth to go along and do this. It is a very serious project, I know, in terms from a conservation point of view. And before you go, Sean, this particular breed of goat, I understand, they're coming from County Mayo and they're specifically important. They're unique, are they, to Ireland?
They are, Clement. Thanks for asking that. This is our native breed of goat. It predates the Neolithic, You know, it's part of our heritage, going back obviously thousands of years. It has helped us through famine and kept families alive. It's a beautiful animal. It's a small, stocky goat with large horns, beautiful, long, flowing coat and quiff. And the males in particular have very, very large beards, and they're very charismatic and beautiful animal.
I agree with that. I'm looking at a photograph, actually. They're a magnificent animal. Magnificent.
They are.
What
they
a
are.
Set of horns and what a coat and beard and everything else. Yet.
Yeah, and they're, you know, their conservation status isn't great at the moment, and this is hugely important that we demonstrate the utility of those Irish goat and native breeds generally, and this is a very progressive effort by Fingal County Council in particular to move this project forward.
All right, it's great. The old Irish goat, you have a visitor centre, which I know is closed at the moment. But if you want to find out any more of this, by the way, highly adapted to the Irish landscape, arriving in Ireland during the Neolithic age, about 5,000 years ago. Now, it's not that I know a lot about goats. I've just gone onto the website here to check in that Ireland's indigenous goat. Thus the name of the Old Irish Goat Society. You can find out all lots more about that there. And in particular, if you can get ahead of my two producers who are heading up the M7 at the moment towards Howth to try and claim this job, it's to mind the 25 goats or so. It's 45,000 a year. And of course, if you want to apply for it, all details on it. And it's a very important project now. We're not making fun of it or anything else like that. Just like the sheep and the curra, you can go on the website and get all the details at greenjobs.ie. Very, very interesting. We'll keep watching brief in it, Sean.
Clem, if I can just add, the Old Irish Goat Visitor Centre in Mulroney, County Mayo, is opening on the 17th of May. So, well, your listeners in Kildare and beyond would be very welcome to come down and find out more.
We'll do our best for that now that we can move westwards from Monday, Sean. And we send our best wishes to the footballers of Mayo for a better year to come. And great to know, those goats are beautiful animals, I have to say. Vice Chairman of the Old Irish Goat Society, based at Mulroney in Mayo, Sean Carlin, great talking to you, Sean.
Thanks, Tim.
Right, very, very interesting job indeed. That's Sean Carlin. And 45,000. Now, it won't be as easy as it seems. You won't be just looking at the goats or whatever else. You'll have to take care of all 25 of them. After this short break, we're going for Free Fuckle Friday.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, I promised to read you the Leaving Cert Maths question of 2021, the sample that was sent in. I think it's by Jer. And here's the question. I think this is great. John wants to invite some people around to his house. He can invite six people from three different households. Two of the households have children under 12. John can only facilitate 10 people in his garden. Three of John's friends have been fully vaccinated. John only got one jab and is waiting on his second. Two of his friends already had COVID, but only one of them is fully vaccinated. How many people can John have in his house without a mask? Number two, how many can share the same umbrella in his garden when it rains? And how many must wear a mask? And number three, how many friends will John have when all of this is over? I think that's very funny. And because it does emphasise that some of the regulations and the stipulations set down around them in terms of house gatherings and how soon so many can meet, depending on when did you get your last vaccination and what type of vaccination it was, I think that question sums it up indeed in a very, very funny manner. And thanks, Chair. Very good. These people in HSE, do they talk to one another? After my daughter got tested yesterday in Punchestown at 11 o'clock, guess what? We get a text today at 8 o'clock this morning saying a test has been arranged for your daughter on Friday the 9th at 1:55 in Punchestown Nace. We've heard many situations of that. People who've already had their test, then getting another test appointment and coming on. But when you're doing and trying to test, you know, millions of people, there's about to be glitches in the system. So we'll give them a bit of latitude. All right, folks.
Free Fuckle Friday on Kildare's KFM.
All right, Kit Fulchishaka, reach our attempt to improve your cupola fuckle. We want you
Cannon
to join in.
Your local trusted supplier. Serving all your concrete needs for over 40 years. If it's concrete, Hanlon's have it. Remember, keep your business in Kildare to keep Kildare in business. Call us at 045 860 149 or visit hanlonconcrete.ie.
Okay, more in imagine, Owen.
Tia great Clem, come us a talk to.
Oh, Tommy Gahuntaker, Fad Tawa, Agus Tufain, Kira.
Tommy Rice.
Talk to her house. Kira says she talked to Tommy her house. I'm excellent. And Owen is Gahuntaker, Fad. Now, our last lesson in the class here, to which Kira was Oslaher, we were dealing with how verbs in the past tense and how you can converse Oscoilge in the past tense. And we said the simplest way to remember this is in the past tense. Every verb beginning with a consonant, practically 99% of them, you just put a H on it. Don't get hung up in it. So brish becomes vrish me, ghoon me. And verbs that begin with vowels generally have a D comma. So dip me mo yinir, I ate my dinner. Deach me on television, I looked at the television. Duskel me on Doris, I opened the door. And so on. So you put a H on it. There are some of exceptions like rip me. That can't take a H. And don't get hung up in it, I say. So, hoig me, I went. Honig me, I came. Dip me, dole me. Duskel me. Huel me. Rip me. He me, I sat down. Hias me. Ghoon me on Doris. All that, the I'm sure caught you, the past tense. What happens then in the present tense? Well, all you have to remember is no H's. You just put un or ian at the end of the word. So that you get tean me, I go, tagan me, I come, dunan me, I open, usclean me. So one syllable verbs will have the un sound at the end as dunan, rihen, quirin, olan, and so forth. Two syllable verbs will have ian as in usclean, canian, irian. So to say anything in the present tense, all you have to do is put on or ian at the end of the words. So we're going to start with Owen and Kira today on what they do every day. Beginning with Ermagin, I rian me, I get up at. So Kira, Nican Usel, can Tom I rian to gach magin?
I rian me, sheachlog.
Egeshe a clog. I rein me egeshe a clog. Cod a yen and two on shin. What do you do then? Quirin me mucket. I put on.
Quirin me mo 80.
Orum. Yeah.
Orum.
Yeah.
Agus nig mo aig.
Nian. Nian me.
Nian. Oh, gof me lashkel. Nian mo aig. Agus nian mo fiacla.
Right.
Agus. Duskel me.
Usclean me.
Usclean me.
No D comma, that's only in the past tense. Usclean me, I open.
Okay, dip me.
Ihen me.
Ihen me. Mo brick foster. Yeah.
Okay, shin gumma. Gumma. Right, yep. Owen, kadi yen and tussagak margin.
So.
Kentama Irian too.
Irian may egg a shea a clog, freshen. Quirin may mo quid adi urum. Ihin may mo vrick fosta. Dolan may.
Olan
may. Olan may cup on coffee. August.
Tain to go KFM.
Yeah.
Tain may.
Tain me good KFM.
Right, okay. Ni on ni and to the eye is the lava. Do you wash your hands and your face and hands? Ni and me?
Yeah, ni and me eye August.
August hone.
August, right, okay, right. We let that one fly. So, on Shin, tugging to is shako KFM. You come into KFM, tugging to. Right, cod a yin and to. Now remember, we're in the past tense, what you do every day. So all verbs will end in un or ian. Okay?
We're in the present tense.
We're in the present tense. What did I say?
The past.
Oh, did I? Sorry, we're in the present tense. The I'm sure lohiruk, as it's called. So no H, no D commas, because they're only for the past tense. So all verbs, one syllable verbs, will end in un, and two syllable verbs will end in ian. So, Owen, Nura Hagen 2 is stuck, go KFM, Cod a yin and 2.
Dolan, Olan May. Coupon Coffee Arish.
Right. You can take every single thing you do. Shulin May, I walk.
Shulin May, Gudeon Studio.
Right.
August, O'Brien May, Aaron Kildare Today, Aaron Show. Egg, Nia Clug, Gudi, Haindeg Clug.
Right.
August, Tereshon Show, In May, Pisa Toaster. August, Shulin May, Outside.
Tavenway.
Tavenway. Shulin May, Tavenway.
A Mwifween Spare or a Mwifween Air, Goma, Gohuntuk or Fad. Now, Kira, Kada Yin and Tussa Gokla, Teresh on Rick Foster. Tagan me go KFM. Ferrari.
No. Cadé car.
Glúisteán.
Glúisteán. Ach, of Mleshkel. So Shulin me goodí KFM.
Mm-hmm.
Oberín me air on Rivera.
Come on. I bring me in Rivera. Kira works on the computer Rivera. Go huntuk, yeah.
Egg kind. Air on radio. Lowry and May air on radio.
Right.
Sport, August, Nilisagum obituaries.
Unnooked.
Unnooked. August.
Tereshon Show, after the show.
Kildare and Yay. Or new.
In new, yeah. Tereshon Show.
Tereshon Show.
How do you get into? What do you do?
Jane and May, Ege.
Right, Ehin May.
Ehin May.
I eat.
August
on Dean Tuamak Eg Shul, do you go walking?
Kare sometimes.
Orinta.
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 Gokla Adari Marshin. So, Shin on, I'm sure, Lahiruk. Cad a yen and two. Irian May. Ehin May of Rick Foster. Nian May Ma Aig Agus Malava. Quirin May Ma Quidia di Orim. Tereshon Rick Foster. Tame Eg Ober go KFM. Nura Hagim go KFM when I come to KFM. Seeing me Egon Beecher, I sit at my desk. Being Meg Ober, I bring me and River Maradur to Owen. Tagim is Shock's studio. Being a kind Leclem Agus Owen or Kira Agus Marshande. So on Ian, if you want to put the I'm sure Lohiruk on the present tense. And in our next lesson, we'll do the I'm sure Oshtanuk. And then I have some very exciting news. Following a proposal by John Dunn, who said that in Gown Couple Shachtani in a couple of weeks, Owen and Kira are in keeping with the Leaving Cert Oral Irish exams. They're going to do their Scrudo Bail, their Oral Irish exam,
God,
live on air here, to show what they've learned over the couple of weeks. Kira's face has just gone into contortions of horror in regards to that.
Imagine when we left school, like we didn't think we'd have to do another Irish...
A Scrudo Bail. Yeah. Well, you but have to do...
If the listeners only knew about my Irish oral.
Right, well, you're going to have your real Irish oral now. Igyaun Kaikisha. In a fortnight or thereabouts, big Scrudo Bail, you'll have your Scrudo Bail.
Ní mahlam Gaelga oral.
All right, Scrudo Bail.
Scrooge Bale, ní mhalam Scrooge Bale.
It's true as in, that's a pity.
Agus tá mé tá brónarim.
Tá brónarim. There'll be a lot more brónarim, I'll tell you, when we get to it. Gurimíle mágat, Kira.
Fáilte, Clement.
Right, gurimíle mágat, Owen.
Tá fáilte, Rolt.
All right, go hunt a carfad. Dalti scola. Bert Dalti scola a tága huntuk. Agus begann Scrudo Bail acá I gceann cúpla seacht ní. And Kira will have a lot of brawn when she comes to do her Scrudo Bail live on air in a couple of weeks' time. Now, we always like you to leave you with a Shan Uckle as well. We've left you over the weeks with Níl Aon Tintán Mar the Hintán Féin. There's no place like home. Is Bing Bail in a Host. Silence is Golden. Ersko a chéile a warren na dina, people leave in a shadow. On rod is anov is untach, what is rare is wonderful. And today's Shan Uckle, you can repeat after me, ní mar a hílter a vítr. Ní mar a hílter a vítr. Things aren't always what they seem. Ní mar a hílter a vítr. Tasulugum go one shift ten of us. Kira Agazon Gurimila Magav.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan. KFM.
Right, before we leave you with a couple of messages and we'll deal with Kira's brawn and so on, a listener has just sent me in their effort, and I hope you're joining in with us on our Cúpla Focal. It's just a fun element, but also people have much more Gaeilge than they realise, and we like to do it in a fun, informal way, not ram it down people's throats and so forth, as so many suffered in the education system. And a listener sent me a couple of words to say, Nóchtán, Leinster leader, Nóchtán is a newspaper on Teachtain Shop this week. Amongst the issues, Tihiacht, housing, Corla Cunte, the county council, agus mar sinde, Gormila Magot, agus Vishijin Gojas Erfad. Okay, just to check on, are there a couple of messages that I didn't get to in terms, just wondering if the judge will seek records regarding the court case. I don't want to comment on court cases at all at the moment. Clem, the children make their confirmation in school uniforms. First communion, they still have the white dresses, says another. And in regards to that, and the final two messages before we go for our poem this week. Oh, I've done those in the WhatsApp. Gormila Magat. Someone else says the name for Druhadnua, or the name for Newbridge is Druhadnua. Shannon says it was changed in the 1930s. You're right, Shannon. The official name is Druhadnua, but nobody uses it. You know, that's just the reality of it. There are other towns that are in similar situations, indeed. OK, I have a little poem for you before we go. It's called The Meaning of Love. And the poet says, who's Queen Asha, is the name of the poet, says, I wrote this poem the first time I fell in love with someone. I then came to know what love is and how it feels. I decided to write it down. Published back in 2008. Here we go, then. To love is to share life together, to build special plans just for two, to work side by side and then smile with pride as one by one dreams all come true. To love is to help and encourage with smiles, sincere words of praise, to take time to share, to listen and care in tender, affectionate ways. To love is to have someone special, one on whom you can always depend, to be there through the years, sharing laughter and tears, as a partner, a lover, a friend. To love is to make special memories of moments you love to recall. Of all the good things that sharing life brings, love is the greatest of all. I've learned the full meaning of sharing and caring and having my dreams all come true. I've learned the full meaning of being in love by being and loved with you. Thank you for your company all week. From Kira, from Owen, myself, we'll do it all again on Monday morning from 9. John Dunn is up next with the 11 to 2 show. Wash your hands, keep your social distance and wear those face coverings. Yippee from Monday. We're off on our countrywide tour. Slán tamall, let's go to the newsroom and Kira ni Flunkade.